5-Minute Concept Series for Windows Server 2008 R2. In this screencast, we're going to be talking about Windows Trigger Start Services. Why are they, and why do we need them? Okay, so get a better understanding of why we need them, it is important to understand the different ways in which services that are running most of the time can affect the behavior or different areas of the computer or the operating system. First and foremost is the factor of performance. If you have a service that is running continuously most of the time and that it's utilizing resources or, for example, writing to disk a lot, indexing something, then it can affect the performance of the computer and affect the whole user experience. There's also the area of reliability, in the sense that if a service is poorly written and it has memory leaks, or if it just crashes and brings the whole operating system down, then it can affect also the user experience, and it's something that's definitely not wanted. Security is also a big issue, in the sense that some services, they run with a high system privilege. So if they're ever compromised, then pretty much anything can go in terms of wreaking havoc on the computer itself. And power consumption, something that is very important on the server side as well as on the user side, for example, using a laptop, is the fact that if you have a service that is usually running and just thrashing to disk, then that is going to pretty much kill your battery in no time. And also on the data center side, you want to make sure that your power consumption is not very, very high, in the sense, in order to pretty much save on the energy bills and so on. So based on this, it is important to understand that Trigger Start Services were created with this in mind. And the whole idea is that there's many services that that should only be started whenever they are needed. It's not a fact that you should have your service running continuously and checking for some condition to change, and then based on that condition, if it proves true, then you should start doing something. The whole idea behind Trigger Start Services is that something, a specific condition, triggers your service to start, to carry out whatever it is that it needs to be doing, and then go back to a stuff state. This preserves a lot of resources, and it affects the areas that we just talked about in positively, in the sense that good things can come up of this type of behavior. So the types of triggers that they are currently available are some of this. We have the device interface arrival, which is, for example, when a USB drive is plugged in. Where you also have some that are specific to the enterprise, which is for the domain joiner leave and the group policy change triggers. You also have IP address triggers, in the sense that something happens, the service is triggered when you have an IP address, that you receive an IP address or you lose an IP address. So if your service is dependent on internet connectivity and you lose an IP address, then you might as well just stop whatever you're doing and wait for your IP address to come back on. And if any of these do not fit your needs, then you can just write a custom ETW event, an event tracing for Windows. And doing so, you can create your custom trigger, and by that, then you can take action whenever your trigger is fired off. The way to write, the way that you can make your trigger, your service trigger aware, this is the sample code, and you can just go to the webpage from this screencast and just download the whole project that we're going to be showing you here in a sec. But basically what's happening here is that we have a structure, then we just initialize it, and we define the type of trigger that we want to make this service part of. In this case, we're make it so that it is a service trigger of IP address availability. Now, this can be losing the IP or obtaining an IP, and we're going to see how we're going to be defined that here in a couple of lines below. The next line that we have is the action. What do we want to do whenever this specific trigger is fired off? And in this case, we're specifying that we want the service to start. Once we have defined it, we can create the particular subtype, and in this case, we mandate that whenever the first IP address arrives, in the sense, when the machine obtains an IP address, then we want the service to start. Once we have that, when we set the trigger, and we use the change service config API to send in the service and to send the configuration info for the trigger, and that's basically all it takes for the service to run. Now that we have that, we're going to go ahead and show you a little demo on how to and how this actually behaves on Windows Server 2008 R2. Okay, so let me just switch over to Visual Studio to show you the demo that we have. The solution that we have right here, it's three projects. The first one, the register service, is the one that is the helper application for doing this demo, so we don't have to go and run a whole bunch of scripts. The second one, the service control interrupt, is the wrapper for all the API functions that have to do with Windows start trigger services. And then we have over here the USB copy service, which is the actual service that we run to carry out our tasks. This is a managed service. Right now we have here the code of what happens when the service starts, the onStart. The first condition, it checks to see if this indeed is a service that uses triggers, and it does this by using the wrapper project over here, by using the service control and querying with the service name. Now we're gonna skip to this for the time being, and we're just gonna focus right here on the elsearm, which is basically what the service does when it runs on a regular mode. This is not triggered, this is just the way the service would usually run. It creates a timer and it waits 5 seconds, and if the continuously call the do work function. So if we go to the do work function, we can see that it checks out basically to see if a USB drive has been inserted, and if it does have been inserted, then it goes ahead and it copies all the files from the directory and the USB drive to the root of the C drive. So I'm gonna go ahead and we're gonna run this the way it is right now. So here's the application. That's gonna help us carry out the demo. I'm gonna switch over to my services panel right here and just do a refresh. And if you look at the U, you can see that there's only a couple of services with starting with the letter U. So when I register this service right here, I register demand start, and if I refresh the services, now the USB copy service has been registered. Now keep in mind that this is not right now it's not a trigger start service, it's just a regular good old service that is going to be running and continuously checking for the to see if the USB drive is inserted. So I'm going to start the service, clicking on start, going back and refresh. So the service has been started. Now I'm going to switch over to my C drive, and as you can see here, there's sort of a from USB and there's just a log in there, and now I'm just going to go ahead and insert the USB stick into the computer, and as you see here, that's the USB stick removable. Now if we go back to the directory from USB which we had here, we can see that it copied the file. Okay, so I'm just going to close that, and this is nothing new. This is just to show you the way that it currently works, and this is the way that the service would normally acquire resources. And actually, if we just open the task manager real quick, then we can see that the service, even though it's not doing absolutely anything right now, is just waiting for a condition to happen that the service is actually taking up resources. See if I can show you. Actually, under processes, USB copy service is using 3 megs of RAM and it's using CPU cycles. So basically, that's not something that we wanted in terms of a service. We want it to be a good citizen, and we want it to only to use the resources that it's supposed to. So now I'm going to be running this in a different way, and the way we're going to be running this is by calling. We're going to be registering the service to be a trigger started. So this happens under the manage section, the unmanaged section, and on this right here. Let me just get to it. Okay. So this is basically the same code that I showed you previously on the slide. But right now, what we're doing is that we're registering for a trigger type that is a device interface arrival. And we want to make sure that we want to wait and start the service when it's a USB device. And over here we have the action to take, and we want to be able to start the service whenever we are met with this condition. And after that, we just use the change service config, send in the service name, the instance, and this should take care of this. So basically, this is under the service control interrupt CBP file. If you want to look at it, it's underlined, well, this is underlined 253. So you can get an idea of how this service is registered so that it's triggered when a USB drive is inserted. Okay, so basically, that's the path that it takes right now. So if I refresh this, you're going to see that the USB copy service is registered. So I'm just going to, it's registered and running. So I'm going to run the demo application again. I'm going to stop the service and I'm going to delete it. So if I switch over to my services, the USB copy service is no longer there. So now, by clicking this register trigger start, it's going to use that API call to register the service with a trigger. Now, if we go back to services and I refresh this, then you're going to see that the USB copy service isn't here, but it's manual, right? It's not running, it hasn't been started, it's not automatic, and it's not taking up any system resources or doing anything at all at this point in time. Okay, now I'm going to switch over to my C drive, and remember we had the USB directory here, which we had the pictures, so I'm just going to delete them. And now I'm just going to do the same thing, and first I'm going to yank the USB drive out. And let me just switch this over so you can see the service, which is not running. And you're going to see that the pictures are going to show up here in a sec once I insert the USB drive. So I'm going to insert it. The service is not running. Here, the removable disk just popped up. I'm just going to close this window. And the pictures are again copied over into the C drive. So this will happen without the service actually running all the time. We registered the service with the trigger. We specified that we wanted it to start whenever there was a condition in which a USB drive was detected, and that's all there is to it. In this small example, we've seen that our service is now a better citizen by respecting more of the areas that we talked about. You know, in terms of performance, it's not running 24/7. So if it was doing something that was taxing to the operating system, it's only doing it when it's supposed to, and not whenever it's running. It's also more reliable in the sense that if it had a design flaw, if it has a programming flaw, for example, a memory leak, then it won't be causing this problem every time because it's running all the time. It's also more efficient in terms of power consumption. So if you're running this in a battery, and the service won't be running, draining your resources, waiting for something to happen, continuously checking for something to happen. By the trigger, we make it so that it runs only when the specific condition is met. And also on the security side, we have a less attack surface, not running 24/7, so chances of it being compromised, if for somebody found a way for this to happen, then it's a lesser chance because it's not running all the time on your computer. So as you can see, it's something that it's very worth to take advantage of, and definitely download the source code sample that we have with the project so you can play around and you can start creating your own custom triggers or subscribing to different triggers and see the effects, and you can test it by yourself. Okay, hope you find that helpful, and we'll be seeing you next time. Thanks for watching.